here. Now back to Justin Akre.
We had enough going for us defensively as well as our offense that it didn't really hurt us tonight. But it was a total team effort again. You know what I mean? We're going to have that same commitment when we step out on that floor at Conseco Fieldhouse on Saturday.
Welcome back in the zone. Justin Akre joined by Phil Elson in the Sphere Electric studio today. Also, Justin Lewis of KATV joining us. We're talking a little horse racing. That was Mike Woodson last night after a very impressive win by the New York Knickerbockers. And I'm tired of people being lazy and shortening it. We're going Knickerbockers all the time from now on.
Is Coach Woodson aware that Jose and Ozzie Canseco are not the sponsor of the building the Pacers play in?
I don't know about that, but I do know this. I saw a tweet from Joe Klein who apparently one place or another he played for Woodson. Woodson was a coach at one of Joe's 45 stops in the NBA, and he was rooting for him last night. I think he actually likes him because they're both raspy. They both have that raspy voice. We have a couple of NBA things that I do want to get into. One of them involves Derek Fisher, and we'll delve into that later. It's too lengthy a story. One, I just want to commend the Spurs for closing out a very hungry, young, talented Golden State team last night. And two, I'm glad that the Pacers and Knicks will continue to play on, so I have basketball to watch this weekend. I do want to mention that the Grizzlies and the Spurs start their series for the Western Conference Championship Sunday at 2:30 on ABC. That's your station, Justin Lewis. That means whoever's working the 5 o'clock probably isn't going to have to do much.
Yeah, and even on I work Sundays, and we've gone late, it seems like, every time. How about that game last night? You're talking Knicks-Pacers. That was a game you could have probably turned it off for about 10 minutes and not missed a thing.
No, it kept
awful shooting.
Well, every time it got close, yeah, they got it down to 5 maybe at one point, and then they would put it back out. So, yeah. I give the Knicks credit for hanging in there. I do expect the Pacers to close them out at home. At least that's what I'll be hoping for, much to Joe Klein's chagrin. But what do I know? Not much. Joe will join us in studio to talk about all things NBA next Tuesday.
Make sure you ask him about his former GM with the Chicago Bulls, who's now scouting in baseball here in Little Rock for the last 3 days.
Who's that?
Jerry Krause.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's actually been a baseball scout for a few years now.
Oh, Crumbs is in town?
That's right. Don't call him that in person.
I wouldn't. Can we get him on? I won't call it to his face. I'll call Mr. Krause.
I don't know how much he likes me.
You're a mean one.
I say, hi, Jerry. Nice to see you today. Hey.
Yeah, well, there's a reason why Michael Jordan didn't care for him too much.
Right.
Okay, so here's the other thing real quick. Yesterday, the Sacramento Kings was announced. A, they're not leaving and going to Seattle. And as David Stern said, this is not an anti-Seattle thing. This is a pro-Sacramento thing, which I'm fine with. But they sold to a group for $535 million, okay? If the Sacramento Kings are worth $535 million, are the LA Lakers worth $84 billion?
Yes.
They have to be.
Yes.
The Sacramento Kings don't even come to mind when I think of NBA teams. I mean, eventually they would if I had all day to come up with teams. But if they're worth $535 million, I mean, what are the Celtics worth? What are the Lakers worth? What are the Heat worth, for goodness sakes?
That's a very good question.
It also goes back to how many chances do you give a city to have a team? They just lost, you know, the Sonics, eventually the Thunder. I mean, you're just going to let a team go back to Seattle and try to do it all over again?
That's what happened in Cleveland with the Browns. It's really all about getting a new building. For the Browns it was, and I think for the Sonics it is as well. Otherwise, they wouldn't have let them leave. And I think that the Kings staying in Sacramento is tantamount on them getting a new building, too. That's really what it's all about, being held hostage when it comes right down to it. You know, you hold an entire region and fan base hostage with the threat of that team leaving town unless we get some sort of new arena. Whether publicly or privately financed, they don't care, but they want a new building.
I do want to do the 30 for 30 talk today, and Justin Lewis, I gave a heads up on this. What 30 for 30 documentary do you want to see done? Justin's very close to the horse racing game, so maybe there'll be something there. There are a lot of good stories always. The other one I was just thinking about, too, and talking about some of these towns and, you know, towns that have lost sports teams. I mean, I'm still sitting here thinking, L.A. doesn't have an NFL team, which is ridiculous. Okay, so what sports cities need a team, and what do they need exactly? It is amazing to me that Kansas City's never gotten it together to get another NBA team.
Or an NHL. They were close to getting the Penguins when they built the Sprint Center, which is supposed to be maybe one of the nicest arenas in the country that has no tenant whatsoever. KC would be one of those towns.
Do you think St. Louis could support an NBA team? I mean, you look at the Cardinals and the Rams.
Sure.
That's a team, I mean, they're very passionate about sports there. And while they may not be the biggest market and have maybe the most money, you feel like they're going to sell tickets and people are actually going to go to the games if they were to have another professional team there.
Why not Kansas City? I mean, the Chiefs are very well attended. I mean, I don't know how Royals games are. I'm assuming not great, but they haven't been very good for a long time. But that's where the Kings, of course, speaking of Sacramento, started out or ended up, I guess, before they moved to – Sacramento.
I forget where they came from first. I think it might have been Cincinnati to Kansas City.
I think that's right. Yeah. So, anyway, 30 for 30 to come up with one in the break? That was not much notice.
No, I'm still sitting here thinking.
I'm disappointed.
I'm trying to, delve through the SEC, but how many of those have we seen? You know, we saw the Bo Jackson. We've seen Alabama, Auburn. Arkansas. So I'm trying to.
How about David Basel, 30 for 30?
I want to see a Morgana the Kissing Bandit 30 for 30. How she got her start, which I think was completely out of the blue. She said, I think she said something about I overdosed on Geritol and I had to jump the right field fence.
You could do that. You could do like your super sports aside stories. I mean, you could do the Birdman guy that will like kind of video or photo bomb events, including sometimes post tournament interviews after major wins.
What if we did a 30 for 30 on Catherine Webb? How one statement changed her life.
That would be a great 30 for 30.
I would love to see that.
Of course
we could get all the spreads on there, her pictures. Oh, man.
And then you have
killer ratings.
The best part of that 30 for 30 would have to be a live segment where you stick her and Musburger in the same room and they have to actually stand shoulder to shoulder for a 1 minute and just look at the uncomfortableness that she feels. That's entertaining enough.
What about this? What about if we did a story about the Dallas Cowboys when they used to play professional football?
Oh, speaking of Cowboys, I got one.
Steeler fan here loves it.
Hey, I got one. Did they ever do one on the big trade when they traded Herschel Walker for all those guys, cut them, got the draft picks, you get Aikman, you get Emmitt Smith, they got Moose Johnston right out of that, a bunch of other guys. That could be a big one. I mean, that's when you finally saw draft picks paying off in the long run.
Super trade. I like it. That'd be a good one. Justin, you know what? You've come up with two. That's very impressive. Now, can you come up with one good TV story tonight at 10?
Ooh, it's tough.
Tell me about We'll Take Charge. There was apparently a thought process of not entering the Preakness, but something changed.
Of course. Who would ever do a story on a horse that finishes eighth in the Kentucky Derby? And I'll go ahead and raise my hand because I'm doing one. Very interesting, and a lot of people probably didn't see the overhead replay. We'll Take Charge pretty much got mugged in the Derby, to say it easy. On the outside with eventual winner Orb, they're passing the field like crazy at the quarter pole. All of a sudden, Verrazano starts drifting and just kills the momentum. And coming out of the race, Willis Horton pretty much said, you know, I don't think I'm going to run the Preakness. But as we watch the replay, completely changes mind, and that's what we're going to delve into and kind of break that down tonight at 10 for sure.
Talk to me about that jockey change. How did that come about?
Well, I will tell you, Justin, I actually went out and sort of said that Willis Horton is going to make a change for the Derby. He told me that Mike Smith was going to be on the mount for We'll Take Charge. They were going to move Gary Stevens over to Oxbow. Well, Stevens stayed on Oxbow. Mike Smith actually rode Palace Malice, I believe, one of the Pletcher horses anyway, and that didn't happen. Wayne Lucas said, I'd rather have Cord on him. He's ridden him a lot. And then this week, Lucas pretty much made the change and said, I'd rather have Mike Smith on this horse going forward. But in John Court's credit, nice guy, a lot of class. He's in the story tonight commenting on what happened in the Derby, and he's hoping he can secure a mount in the future, but he really likes this horse whether he's riding it or not.
Well, those who follow what goes on at Oaklawn, John Court's had more than his share of success here in Arkansas. So, yeah, he's always been a class act and a great jockey. There's no question about that. But, look, if you got a guy that's running in the Kentucky Derby, they're all pretty good at this point.
And he's actually ridden in the last three. He rode Arch, 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 who was a favorite in the Derby for his father-in-law, Jinx Fires.
Yep.
And Arch, Arch, Arch obviously broke down in that race, unfortunately. But Court's got some good mounts over the years and kind of an underrated guy probably in the profession.
Yeah, we had the Yegas is in before the Arkansas Derby when they won in that one, and that was great. The owners of that horse, so Arch, Arch, Arch. Okay, so tonight at 10,
that's when it's going to be on.
So
and
what do you think? What are you going to handicap for us? What kind of chance you give this horse?
Well, he's at 12-1. I think is great value on him. I told you, you know, during the break that Rosie Napravnik came out and said that she was watching two horses in the race that she knew she has to keep up with. Riding My Loot, and those are It's My Lucky Day and We'll Take Charge. It's My Lucky Day was kind of my pick for the Derby. I will say I threw a lot of tickets out there for a lot of horses, but she said she wanted to watch those two, and I agree, especially We'll Take Charge in the 7th slot. You couldn't have picked a better spot for him. You ask Willis Horton, where do you want him running? He would have said 6 through 9, and he got to 7. So it was weird how the draw turned out, Justin. You had the 1 and the 7 to go. Orb got the 1. We'll Take Charge gets 7.
As much as I root for my fellow Arkansan Willis Horton, I have to, in my position, root for the best story, which is a potential for a triple crown.
Mm-hmm.
The Wall Street Journal says Orb is going to win the triple crown. This is the year, it says. This is really, quite possibly, the year of the first triple crown since 1978, because if Kentucky Derby winning Orb can edge out from his rail post to win Saturday's Preakness, then there is no question, barring all superstition and acts of God, that he can win the June 8th Belmont Stakes.
I asked Willis Horton about that, and he gave a very strong comment, and we'll have that on my story. It's you might be surprised at kind of his optimism for his horse going into the Preakness, especially after seeing that replay of the Derby.
All right. Well, I look forward to seeing it. 10 o'clock tonight on KATV.
Who's your pick? You handicapping?
I'm going with Orb. I mean, I'm rooting for Orb just for the story, because it gives me the three weeks in between, you get to think about and root for and consider the fact that there could be a triple crown.
But if you're betting, I don't think there's any value there.
No, there isn't. No, if I'm going to bet.
If you're going to bet, who are you going to bet to make money?
Let me talk to Jeff Taylor at 11:20 and I'll get back to you. I don't know. He watches it a lot closer. Now, the interesting factor here is, and it happens almost every year, there are a couple horses running that didn't run in the Kentucky Derby. Better rested, and certainly some real players in there.
And value. You got Governor Charlie on the outside. I think he was at 15-1. His odds are probably going to go up.
Departed, I think, is like 6-1, right?
Yep. And that's everybody's pick. That's the buzz pick. Kind of like Revolutionary we saw late in the Kentucky Derby. Everybody jumped on Revolutionary. We're seeing the same thing with Departed.
Let's take a few calls here. We've got to get a timeout. Allie Raceman, the gold medalist, two times over. Plus, she threw in a bronze for good measure. She is in the final of Dancing with the Stars on ABC Monday night. One of the final four. She'll join us here in a minute. Lee is in Hazen. Hi, Lee.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Hey, good.
Hey, got a the 30 for 30 idea for you.
Yes.
You remember the guy, his life changed. He tried to catch the foul ball at Wrigley Field in the playoffs.
Justin's a Cub fan, of course.
Steve Barton.
No, I'm not familiar with that story. What happened? Yes.
Tried to catch a ball, and he got
stoned. Yes.
Did you know the Cubs haven't won the World Series since 1906?
Hey, Avery, they did one on that one, right? Steve Bartman? Catching Hell?
Steve Bartman, that's his name.
Yeah, catching
you're right.
Hell.
There was a story done on him.
That was a great one, though. That's the first one I thought of.
Yeah. Did you know that I actually just got my concealed carry license? Just want to let you all know that. Go ahead, Lee. What?
Very good. Well, the other thing, I'd heard a whisper that the Kings may be staying because the NBA is hinting of expansion. And Seattle could get a team anyway. Didn't know if you've heard about that.
I haven't, but that sounds like a good idea. I like it.
Expansion.
Why not?
Dilute the game even more.
Sure.
Just to get more markets in the game?
Hey, Phil. It's a profit thing.
Maybe.
I want to go back early 2000s. Do you think we're talking Kings leaving Sacramento when they're making that run at the Lakers and taking the Western Conference Finals? You never think of that NBA team leaving Sacramento, and here
we
got
a
cluster.
Point, I never thought that the Sonics would leave Seattle either, so... You know,
not when Sean Kemp was dunking on people.
Well, he was dunking on a lot of chicks, apparently.
Oh, hey, now we're cooking,
Sterling.
Hey guys,
he's a career 100% shooter, I've been told.
Oh,
what's that?
What now?
I don't know. I'm just talking in circles. Don't mind me. Go ahead.
You were right about the 90 Cowboys. That'd be a good one. I think they did one on that trade, but Irvin and Aitman, they were already there. They were already drafted before. They won part of the trade.
Oh, that's right. Did they get picks in that, or just players?
They got players and picks.
Well, okay. They got players, and then they released all the players, and they got compensation picks for that.
That was back when the Cowboys were doing the New England Patriots thing, and they were winning the draft picks every year. Back in the old days. Who was their GM then?
Oh, Jimmy Johnson. You might as well call him the GM.
Well,
Jimmy was running the football, and Jay was supposed to be running the business for it.
Jerry might want to send him a text and see if he has any ideas.
All they got to do is feel. They feel they'll be all right.
That's been a problem.
Another good team, the 86 Mets, the 30 for 30 on the 86 Mets. I think that'd be pretty interesting with Dykstra and Doc and Strawberry.
Mookie?
There's a fantastic book written by Jeff Perlman, a former SI writer, called The Bad Guys Won.
Yep.
It's about the 86 Mets. It's craziness.
I'm realizing in sports that more often than not, that's the case. Sterling, we've got to take a timeout. Got Allie Raceman coming up. Thanks for the call. Be back. 10:49. As soon as we get back, we'll get Allie on. I do it big.